All right, what we've studied thus far in Colossians 3, it all centers on this. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Now, it all goes back to the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Because what you love, the word love there, you remember, is the verb, agapeo, and it means what you give breath to or what you set your affection on. And if you set your affection on things above, then you, by definition, have had to empty yourself. And if you remember, the command is to mortify, therefore, the members which are upon the earth. Mortify means put to death. You put to death by not giving them any more breath, not giving them any more importance. You owe your emotions and your mind nothing. Remember, one of the things you're to put to death is inordinate affection. Inordinate affection is a Greek, it's one word in the Greek, and it doesn't mean bad stuff. It means any activity of the mind or emotions. You mortify any activity of the mind or the emotions as a way to put you, that, as the vehicle of setting your affection. Now, how do we mortify? You put to death these affections of the earth by simply being honest. You know that the things that you've set your affection on upon the earth have brought you to nothing, have ended up being vain and futile and empty. If you still think that there is something that is not vain or futile or empty, i.e. the things that you can see or sense or think about, then, and if you can't hear the exhortation of the brethren to show you by their experience that they are vain and empty and futile, then you've got to do them. You've got to go do whatever it is that you think you want to do, but do it quickly. So you mortify. It isn't an act of running around trying to hurt yourself or cut yourself or feel guilty about yourself or even feel badly about yourself. It's the act of seeing the fruit of those activities to be empty and vain. That's,
you know, I was thinking of something yesterday after you talked about working on the house, and I was thinking, here we are, we spent 800 million hours, you know, working on this house, and what if a tornado came and just blew up the house? What would I think about all of the input that we had done sitting around there doing all that? And so you have to see that it has intrinsic value in itself rather than what the product was, just of being there and seeing God in that place.
Right.
And so you've got to see that as you're doing it, or else it'll be, you know, you'll be looking at something further on down the line, which
you'll be looking
as Ecclesiastes says, it will turn to dust.
You'll be looking at results.
It will turn to dust.
No.
That's like mourning the passing of food that you ate.
Yeah.
But it has to apply to everything that we do.
But to me, it was like, at that moment, I was thinking, I was like, this is the kind of stuff maybe we're supposed to be thinking about, you know, because it's like, why you're in the middle of it, you know, to know that God is there,
right,
rather than what it's going to do down the line.
That's why it says, whatsoever you do in thought or word or in deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. Which the test as to whether or not you're doing it unto the Lord or unto yourself is whether you care about the results, whether you give importance to the results. That's a huge deal, especially for some. Now, so anyway, you put to death, you stop giving breath to these things. And then in verse 10, it says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And put on means to actually, it's the same as donning clothes. You've put on him. You've put on Christ. You've made no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires or wants thereof. You put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, in Galatians, it also talks about there is neither Greek nor Jew, bond or free, male or female, because in Christ you are a new thing, a new creation. Something that wasn't seen before. And then it amplifies that in verse 12. This is where we're going to start. Put on, therefore, don, or clothe yourself, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You're putting on a person. And these are the personality traits of that person. If you don't try to do this, you repent if you're not. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, and then it emphasizes the donning or putting on the third time. And it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, or it's the perfect bond. It's impossible to join any two things without a third thing. You can't join two boards without a nail. There has to be a third thing. Now, the scriptures say that third thing is which we put on to bind us together is the perfect bond, the perfect glue, the perfect binding, and that is agape. So you've put on all these things, and then in addition to that, you've put on, as the outer garment, agape. Now, remember we've talked many times in the past about forgiveness before God is your business. But reconciliation is God's business. So many times that we've seen over the years that, well, I've forgiven him, but he hasn't accepted my forgiveness, and so I'm going to take my forgiveness back and be resentful. You got to hear this with clarity. Forgiveness is your business. And you forgive because you see the magnitude of what you've been forgiven of. Reconciliation is God's business. Well, here, I'm sorry. Your business is not to try to have fellowship. Your business isn't not to try to have to be together, to put some act of, like, you know, all right, everybody, before we start, give the person next to you a hug and tell them you love them three times. Well, that's not putting on agape, because it's something of your effort. It's like if I believe that my purpose in life is to create a community, then I have left the mystery of God. If my purpose in life is to have a Seder group, then I've left the mystery of God. The mystery of God is the love of Christ. If I concentrate on that love, then everything else transpires. Is that clear? All right. And above all these things, put on charity or agape, which is the bond or the perfect bond. Everything is about Him. Now, so you put on all these things. You've stopped giving breath to the things of this earth. You've set your affection on things above. You've sought, or you're seeking those things that are above. You've put on Christ. And now, what to me is the most important word in the Bible, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word let is the word which means that you've opened the dam. Now the peace of God ruling in your hearts, when you let that happen, it may look for a time as though you're doing something else. If I exhort you, because I see you in a position which is going to cause your demise, it doesn't look like I'm not letting the peace of God rule. Because the peace of God, like hot seats, didn't look like peace, right? John and I have had this discussion, Bojo, numerous times, because he's concerned that if he says something, that it will be judgment. And I said, how do you know it's not discernment? The point is, you can't, it's not your business to sit in judgment of your judgment. You give it. You prophesy, and the body will, the truth of the matter will come clear vis-a-vis the body. That's why, above all things, I would that you prophesy. Yeah, and it sometimes doesn't look very nice. Does everybody understand that? This is why, from my perspective, for you to sit in silence is like, it just means that you've heard nothing that I've said.
I just prefer to get it right. It's like, I want to read about martial arts, and then the first time I do it, I want to do it exactly right so nobody knocks me down. So I don't actually miss or something, and that's not the way anything really works in this world or the next.
Is that clear to everybody? Pray it is. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, this isn't the peace. This is not the peace that meant. Let's go to John 14:27. I think.
I'd like to protest this Bible.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the peace of God is totally different than the peace that we seek after. Now, well, then what does it look like? What is the peace of God? The peace of God is not ever dependent on any external circumstances. It's never dependent on whether you feel good or not. It's not dependent on whether or not anybody agrees with you. It's not dependent on what you think somebody's response to you will be. The peace of God is Christ. And He doesn't give one flip what somebody's response to his, him is. He is the God of peace. He is love, joy, peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the whole mystery of life is simply you getting out of the way. If I sit in judgment of what I'm going to say, then what has happened? And I am still, I've still let the Antichrist sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There's something going on here because the body language among the people is something's happening in here.
No,
I didn't say anything about you. if I said it was going to be you, I'd have said, Ronnie, what's the matter? But it's, well, now it's changed, but it
everybody's changed.
It was Harry and it was Brian, especially Brian. What's going on, Brian?
Was Brian here?
Yeah.
Hey.
I came back
from
his.
Hey.
So are you okay? Harry?
I have a dizzy spell. I woke up with heart palpitations and feeling panicked.
Okay.
Well, an hour or 2 hours before mom
started. Did you talk to anybody? And so what are you doing with it?
It'll pass. That's frequently.
Okay. So you can hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm listening to every word.
All right, back to Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God now, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, the word, let the word of Christ, it's let the Logos be permanently at home in you. That's what it says. He cannot, he will not occupy where you are. He cannot compete, he will not, because of his humility, compete with your judgments, your ideas. And he wants to fully occupy you as his temple. So that in the same way as when the temple was dedicated in the Old Testament, the glory of God so filled the temple that man could not go in. Now that's what your heritage is. When your deception, when your instead of Christ has so been mortified, been put to death, that there is no part of you that you just simply be. There is never again a concern with how you're being. Or are you being right? Or are you being this or that? You just are. And that's why the Scriptures calls us the peculiar people. You are the feminine form of the I Am. There are no modifiers. Not young, not old, not new believer, not old believer. There are no modifiers except to be. Now the verb to be is the most basic, fundamental action word there is. A verb is action. So being, by the idea that you are totally you are totally being when you're not there, is impossible for the human mind to conceive of. Because it's so tempting, so subtle that you have to help out this process, this mystery. You have to get it right. You have to say it at the right time. Now, all of those things about getting it right, saying it at the right time, you know, all of the things that you think are the right ways are all his business. And so to me, by your silence, you have a form of godliness, but deny his ability because he isn't silent. He's silent sometimes. Do you understand the it's tautological?
What scared me this morning, I just realized what caused my feelings of panic this morning and heart palpitation. I had a dream this morning that it was Saturday night and half seats at the wedding ceremony.
I'd say praise God. And you've let that be. Or did you just remember it?
I just remembered.
That's the standard, long time, base fear of yours. You're going to be left alone. Or that you've been tricked. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Exhort, admonish.
Whistle.
Stop a minute. How much of your hesitation to speak is based on everything that you've learned up till now? How much of your admonishment to speak, I mean of your hesitation to speak or to prophesy, is based on your continual desire to get it right? How many times, think of the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of times you were told to be quiet. Now, I'm telling you, from everything I know about the mystery of God, that has to stop. That has to be seen. That has to be mortified. Because it was a tool that was necessary, otherwise you'd have probably been beat up 50,000 times. What? But now, it's time to take the governor off. You've got a new governor that says, risk, be, instead of trying to be. Now, what comes out may or may not be edifying. I guarantee you what comes out, this is another thing John and I talk about. John talks a lot when we're alone, was that one of the things that disgusts him, but it disgusts me 10 million times greater, is for people to use my words. This has been something that's been going on since the day I started teaching. And what it is from my perspective, it's a tell. It's a tell that the word hasn't been made manifest in you. It's still external to you because the words of this mystery are, you will work them out in your own unique way. You know, I don't know anybody that talks about the mystery in the same way I do. Whether that's good or bad is too late for me to be concerned about. J.W. believes exactly the same thing I do, but if you listen to him, he's got all kinds of religious BS. But you don't have to. You don't even have to have, it doesn't even have to be memorized scripture. Probably especially doesn't have to be that. Otherwise you'll sound like Jack Van Impe. But you certainly don't want to sound like Ole either. What? You want to be God's unique expression of Himself. You were made uniquely. Don't try to copy somebody else. You have a unique background. God has wrought all your works in you. Now you can just be. You can let. You can stop worrying about what it's going to sound like. I mean, there'll be issues. There'll be things that happen. There'll be some, you know, okay, so you correct it. Somebody comes along and corrects me, and I say, don't bring any charges against me except two or three elders. Well, I'm never going to say that, but somebody, I might. Or somebody might bring a charge against Buckner since he's not here. I can't say that. He's an elder. Well, then you're an idiot. What I've said so often to you, that if you do not speak what's there, you will end up in a state of sloth. You will end up in a state of boredom. And that's deadening.
If I'm saying things that you say, to me it's like, you know, I haven't seen it or I haven't heard it.
Or it hasn't been worked out in you yet.
Yeah.
Little kids say the same things they hear their parents say. So it's not, I'm not going to condemn it, but I'm saying, it's something that you need to repent of in order that there will be God's unique expression of you in your words.
Now, I might remember something, you know, when I'm talking to a person, and they're saying something that occurred in it, and I remember it.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Everybody know what I mean? But if I see you using my words, or you see somebody else using oleisms or whatever the current BS thing is, and you don't say something and you sit back in judgment, then you're judging your brother. Instead of exhorting, you're sitting back in silent judgment. Anybody remember Joe Spiller? Joe used to sit back there, and he was in silent judgment of everybody, especially me.
Usually the people sit right back there.
No, not they're everywhere. Tell him, preach it. Tell him, Ronnie. Preach it, Ronnie. Do you have any inkling of what you have received? I mean, it has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be the instrument that sparked that which you already had. But He's given you all things. You have need that no man teach you. The Lord is your shepherd. You never again want. Everything is perfect. You are perfect. All God wants you to do is express it. Express whatever is there. Remember, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my heavenly Father. And the word deny there means to have built a dam. So that which is within you is dammed up, as in the walls of Jericho. Remember those walls were up to 12 foot thick and they had human skulls embedded in them to scare off anybody? In each of your Jerichos, there's one. You've got a human skull facing in all directions, and it's you. The walls of Jericho have fallen. There's a new birth. The Holy Spirit has done a new, brand new thing in you. Can you believe how exciting it must be for someone just to be? Without regard, knowing that his life is not his own business. Never again having anxiety, never again having fear, never again having any doubt. As he is in this world, so are we. The only thing keeping us from being as he is us. So put, you have him in you, now put him on. Make no provision for all of this crap that you know is crap anyway. And just be. But be you completely. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How do you do it in the name of the Lord? By letting Him do it. You don't run around, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. You just be. There's never again an interference. There's never again a cloud. There's never again this ruler here, this instead of, who is always trying to keep you under. As most of you know, 17 days after I was a believer, I was on television hosting a talk show on. And I said the most outlandish things all the time. And people thought, wow, he's just a new believer. He'll mellow out. He'll become more like us when he's an older believer. Yeah, I didn't. I got worse. Because that's his expression of himself in me. Paul said, I judge. It's a minor thing. It's a small thing if I'm judged by you. But I'm judged by no man. I judge not even mine own self. Can you feel the freedom of this? Of never again having to be concerned with what you say or do or be? I pray that you can. Any response? Amen. Amen. That's the best response. Unless you don't mean it.
Amen. How do you say amen?
Amen. Michael?
What?
So nothing I've said this morning had any to hit you or witnessed anything within you?
Yes.
Then why didn't you say something? Because the governor is on him.
Because he likes to be called on.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't like it because it puts the light on him.
I like to be what?
He's being funny. No, what's happening is all of the governor there is. You got the governor has to just be.
I always think I don't want to go around bringing charges against people.
But you are already. Do you think I'm an idiot? Don't you know that I know you sit in judgment? That's why I mentioned Joe Spiller. Say it. And you'll stop judging. But to sit in judgment silently and saying, I don't want to do that anymore, then you're judging your brother, which means you're judging the law. And you don't want to do that. I'm not just speaking to Michael. Anybody else? There isn't anybody sitting behind you.
Somebody coming in the door.
Oh.
He's got a bandit in his hand.
Roger. Hey, Roger. Do you understand, all of you? It's not your job to be the governor anymore. Now, some of you are sitting around, well, I can't say that because that's what Ole said. Don't worry about it. Just be you. Everything else will take care of itself if everybody else is instead of trying. That's you, Pete. It's not forgiveness. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. It's you. And anybody that has any brains whatsoever and has been around you for 10 minutes will know that whatever you say, well, you'll have to be reminded again. And so don't try to be what you're not. Just be you. You forget crap, so forget it.
And you leave stuff
lying around. And I do all kinds of crap. I mean, I make more mistakes than anybody.
Yeah, you leave the cabinet open in the house.
That's right. That's why we have the good Levite living with us.
Washing the rugs.
But don't you see the freedom of just being you and stop trying to be something you're not? My God. You've forgotten stuff for 30 years that I've known you. 30. 30 years I've known you. You've forgotten stuff every day for 30 years. Have I judged you for it? I remind you. And anybody has any... I can't say that. It'll remind Pete that he forgets stuff. Then you're a blithering idiot twice. Harry. I have to walk on tiptoes around Harry because he'll get mad at me. Harry gets mad at everybody. That's what he is. But he's not really.
Oh, Michael Melendez is dangerous because he might hurt me.
Michael Melendez is just like a little kid that wants to be loved for the first time in his life.
Well, this is going on, that's going
on. Just be you. Brian... Mr. Brian back there, he's still in dire fear of something I told him 15 or 20 years ago, that I thought he was going to be my replacement.
I remember. He's been running ever since.
No, I just ignore it.
Well, it's not all you ignore, is it?
I
How's that working out for you?
That's one thing.
A little spreadsheet of what to ignore.
Can you see the freedom of just being? And stop worrying about what you... Well, I don't... I should... This is what... I'm afraid. Oh, no. That's an endless crap. Oh, but it's all... And then you get all kinds of people to sympathize with you. Oh, Pete, here's what you should do. You should just... Every time somebody... You should write it down, or you should get a little Palm Pilot, or... He'd screw up the Palm Pilot. No, it doesn't matter. That's not what life is about. Life is about the bond of charity, putting on that perfect bond which binds us together. And it's about nothing else. Got it? If you're going to judge, say it. It's stupid to sit and judge silently. I mean, that's great. I'm going to sit and judge you, but I'm going to be silent. But you know what you'll do? If you don't say it, you will respond to that person as if you've said it with his or her imagined response to you. Pretty soon you'll be back alone again, just like you've been all your life. And not just you, everybody. Because it's the same as with, you know, if you... Christ proved it. He said, if you think about committing adultery with that woman, you have already committed adultery with her. If you judge silently that person, then you've already killed them. Set your affection on things above. Mortify the members of the flesh, including all things that are judged and seen by the senses. That's what you put to death. That's what you stop giving importance to. Set your mind on things above, not on things in this earth. Begin to live like who you are. It's dangerous. People won't like you. All right, that's enough. Unless somebody has something to say.
Well, who you are is different from your idea of who you are. You have an idea.
You have no idea who you are. Yeah. I promise you that. If you have an idea of who you are, you're wrong.
Yeah. I'm a little teapot.
Oh, this is my favorite comment over the years. Well, I'm just this kind of person. I'm just this kind of guy. This is just the way I am.
I'm the kind of guy who...
Yeah. I'll tell you one goddamn thing. That's right there with that other one. You have no idea who you are. You are an invented, made-up caricature of a mask. Now it's time to let the real you out, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you have to be and stop trying to be. The sin of religion is they get you to try to be more stuff. That was real successful.
Thinking about, you know, the idea of being knit together in love. And it's like holding hands and you've got a glove on and everybody, you know, are two pairs, you know. And so you're never really...
touching.
Yeah, there's not the real person.
Amen.
You've got this thing that you can let loose of very easily. It can just come off.
That's good. Please, I beg of you, consider these things. See if you agree with them. If you don't agree, then at least say something. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. B back there is silently saying amen. You know why? Because I've asked him to say amen publicly. He's not going to do it. Because he's worse than I am. Amen? All right. Take it. Huh?
Tell him you had a nice time.
What the hell does that mean?
Tell everybody thank you.
Thank you. I had a nice time. But I won't be back.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of that birthday. My mother's taking me to the birthday party story.
See how well everything went without Jerry?
Yeah, it went way over our
allotted
time. You have used up all your...
My minutes? I don't have any rollover minutes.
Your rollover minutes are gone. 52 minutes.